Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio are presented by Progressive Insurance. But guess what happens when the road team wins game one in the playoffs? Basically, the home team smashes them in game two. That's what happened last night. So I assume we all got a little more sleep than the night before?
I took a strong power nap yesterday, 3.5 hours. So I watched it last night, and I feel okay today.
I took a power nap starting in the third quarter. Middle of the third quarter, I took a power nap until it was time to come to work.
Started a fourth. I called Yates. I said, Yates, man, I'm about to shut this bleepy, bleepy, bam, de boom, 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 bam, down.
I got to tell you, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, the commentary was pretty funny in the fourth quarter, though.
Was it?
Yeah, because they were talking about Darvin Ham, and, you know, Mark Jackson was like, yeah, it's my teammate, blah, 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 and, you know, he broke the backboard, and then Jeff Van Gundy was like, from shooting? Or So just a lot of jokes going on.
Yeah, maybe now that you said that, maybe I was dozing off.
Yeah, you probably dozing.
Because I saw him break the back, he showed it a couple of times. Slim Jim, though.
Slim
Jim. He was a Slim Jim.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He was a mean boy, by the way. Catch you with bows to the face and all that. Hustle face, Keith. It epitomized the hustle face.
No, for sure he was a hustle face. But, yeah, once it got away. It got away. It was kind of like.
Through more than half the game, it was good. Then all of a sudden, well, I think it's when Steph hit the three to put him up double digits. Mm-hmm. And then boom, boom, boom. You turn around and you go, oh, damn, what happened?
I don't remember when he hit it double digits, Max, because it looked like they was hitting him like consistently. Especially Clay. Clay was
giving Austin Reeves that work, boy.
Yeah.
He said like the talent gap sometimes on certain matchups where players look a certain way throughout the regular season. And as you continue to elevate throughout the playoffs, you start seeing those gaps, those slight gaps that look bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what you see between Klay Thompson and Austin.
And Klay also, my Max fact from yesterday on this just in, where you got shouted out, Jay, as usual, didn't watch or didn't even, not only not come on, but didn't even watch.
I didn't get invited.
Max fact was it was going to be the Klay game. I've been saying Klay game until it happens. I mean, Klay, you're not going to keep Klay from having one of these type of games. And this isn't even some crazy Klay game. This is kind of, you expect that at some point.
It's interesting to see Klay play, but everybody acts as though he's not the same player that he was. I'm like, dude, just dropping on people's heads. I don't understand why people felt like he just isn't the same guy anymore, Jay, when clearly he's shooting the ball much better. He struggled the last couple games in the playoffs, but he also, when they was at the high, he was struggling at times during the playoffs. He would then turn to the defensive side of the ball. But right now, from an offensive output last night, dude was 11 and 18 from the field, 61% from the field goal, 8 of 11 shooting threes.
Is that any good? 8 of 11 from three?
So I mean, look, Klay had an incredible game last night. I give him a lot of credit. But like, the best player on the floor to me was Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, Steph had 20 and 12. But, Max, this goes back to a bigger conversation that I know you and I had multiple times. It's one of these underrated things that occurs, right? It reminds me so much of 2015, Key, because in 2015, Andre Iguodala was able to get so many shots from the three-point line off of the gravity that occurred around Steph, right? Now, at the end of the day, Iguodala did a great job on defending LeBron James, but also due to the personnel on the floor for the Cavs, they walled up behind Andre Iguodala, which forced his shooting percentage to drop. So when people look at the numbers overall, they say, well, you know, Iggy did such a great job on LeBron, but it was a team strategy defensively. But throughout the course of that series, the way they trapped, because Matthew Dellavedova could not guard Steph Curry, they started blitzing all ball screens, and that's when Draymond Green started playing more 4-on-3. They started dragging the ball down after the free throw line, kick outs to Andre Iguodala, knocking down threes. Same thing with JaMychal Green last night when they start going small, right? He starts knocking down shots. But since they started to blitz ball screens, like I said they were going to do yesterday, they dragged AD away from the basket. Their two best defenders, you have Vanderbilt and Anthony Davis, away from the rim. You started seeing Steph make plays, and he gave the ball up early, which created these mismatches, which allowed Klay to get going, which allowed Michael Green to get going. And once again, the gravity around Steph is what led to all
and
these plays.
And by the way, back in the day, like even in 16, I was arguing with Marcellus Wiley back then, this argument about Steph. He's making the right play. He's drawing the attention. He's getting it to the right guy. But if that's the guy you're going to be, then in the big moment, then you gotta hit those shots. You can't get kind of free and loose with the ball and throw it out of bounds and not take it.
Yeah, the numbers are down, but he was getting blitzed multiple times.
It's been a journey for him. I think this version of Steph is the best one we've seen in these moments.
But he was still the best player.
I don't know what type of journey he's been on.
He was still the best player on their team.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, but sometimes it just gets into that conversation. I feel like it's one of those things that's underrated because today people are going to talk about Klay Thompson dropping 30. We're going to talk about Anthony Davis being a no-show. But the true star that I want to give him his flowers of the game was Steph Curry.
And he was playing a real point guard.
Yeah, and what did they do? A ton of ball screens at the top of the screen, right? Yep. I mean, that's how they counter the counter.
Hey, well, here's a question.
The best play last night for him, though, Jay, was on the fast break when he snaked through. Mm-hmm. And he put the ball behind his back twice. He kicked it to the corner real quick. On a no look, and I don't know if it was Green who kicked it to Wiggins, and Wiggins dropped the three from the top. Oh, it was like I was sitting here going, "Oh my
God!" One of those
guys. No, because he did his deal, put it behind his back again, boom, over there. Boom. He kicked it back to Wiggins, and Wiggins dropped it down from the top of the key. I was like, "Yeah, it's not our night."
Well, Max,
it's not gonna be our night.
That's one of the bigger themes here, though, is Darvin Ham's. He didn't change up the strategy. So the first time, Key, when you stay in drop coverage, one of the advantages to that, having AD off the ball, as I geek out for a second, is when you have Vanderbilt that is – it's called like lock and trail, right? So if Vanderbilt, who's 6'8", is on the backside of Steph, he only forces Steph to go one way when he comes off that screen, right? So if I have a guy on my hip, I can only go right if he's on my left hip. I can only go left if he's on my right hip. When you allow Steph at the top of the key, all of a sudden now I can go right or left. I can dance with the ball. I can make you change directions. And when they don't do that, that's going to be
that, and that was your game plan going in, and that's exactly what happened in the Warriors 1, as you said. Why didn't they feed AD more on offense early in the game? Is it because LeBron had it going? Like, it seems to me if AD's coming off a game like that, feed the man the ball.
Okay, feed him the ball. Key, AD's ceiling is almost in a way, sometimes to me, higher than Joel Embiid or Jokic. But his floor, the fluctuation of the extremes to me, like, I'm like, one day I'm like, you're a superstar. The next day I'm like, you're JaVale McGee. How the hell is that possible? How do we talk about what is that fluctuation gap between any other superstar in the NBA? I don't think there is one.
Good
right,
point.
So when you look at some of the numbers here, go back to when AD, game 3 against Memphis, 31-17, game 4, 12-11. What? Game 5 against Memphis, 31-19, game 6, 16-14, played well in that game. Okay, I'll give it to him. Game 1 against Golden State, 30-23, game 2, 11-7, and a complete no-show. You tell me another superstar where the fluctuation of that gap is that extreme, where you just don't know what you're going to get, night in and night out.
I don't know if there is one, Key. I don't know. Maybe it's Shaq. Maybe it's Wilt. Maybe it's Kareem. Maybe it's Powell. I don't know. Because I tried to tell
he's
y'all.
He's saying they're not going to put his number in the
I tried to tell y'all. Not yet.
It's going to be in the Raptors. Trust me, Key.
I'm just saying.
But,
not yet.
Still, I don't understand.
As I've always said, the Lakers go as he goes. It's not about LeBron. It's about Anthony Davis. LeBron can have a killer game and shoot the ball well, defend well, play all both ends of the floor. If Anthony Davis does not come to the party, the Lakers are in trouble.
But wait, you say come to the party, Key. That's my very question. The reason I'm pushing back. AD is their best player. They have to run the offense through him. I get that. But who's the one running the offense? So my question is, what? I really don't know. It just seemed
actually,
to me
LeBron
they weren't
James
feeding AD early.
But LeBron has not been running the offense.
Yeah, that's true. The ball's been out of his hand more.
No, he hasn't.
But yeah, you're right. It's ball's been out of his hand more.
What's the name of your book?
Which one? Just give me the damn
book. The first one. Thank you.
So really? I never heard that.
This world where it's like, not giving AD the ball doesn't exist in my brain because my brain is like, Keys, yo, give me the damn ball. So like, he took 11 shots. Game one, he took 19. I mean, look at the last seven area games. So last night, I'll read it to you from last night backwards. Last night, 11 points. Game before, 30. The game before that, 16. The game before that, 31, 12, 31, 13, 22.
But isn't that 13, game plan? You're talking about Darvin
Ham? Just the fluctuation. Look at the chart.
He doesn't control that, does he?
Yes, he does.
How?
I also believe that just my observation from afar, not really knowing because I'm not in the locker room, I'm not in the coach's office, I'm just watching body language and stuff like that, it becomes too physical
Draymond Green became too physical. I've seen him torch Draymond Green earlier this year.
But you know torch how it is when dudes are pushing you around and constantly harassing you and got you under there and doing all that, you become passive at times.
Especially if you have an injury history.
So I'm asking you, Jay. Yeah.
I just don't understand that, though.
Even if guys are becoming physical, I read you the last seven or eight games, you see the point. Drop off, right? So even look at the shot attempts. Last game, 11. The game before that, 19. The game before that, shot attempts he has here. It just keeps. I don't understand. 9 field goal attempts. The game before that, 23 field goal attempts. The game before that, 11 field goal attempts. The game before that, 24 field goal attempts. Like even the fluctuation in field goal attempts.
It's every other game.
One game you're aggressive, the other game you're just not aggressive.
But if they switch from last game, game one. And they're a little more passive in dealing with you. The game two, where you really wasn't expecting them to be pushing you around, trying to keep you off the blocks, getting in your face, doing things to you to disrupt your rhythm and your timing. Does that not affect the way that you would approach playing? I think it does, but I could be wrong. I only could ask you because you've been on the NBA court.
I don't know, Key. It sounds like we're making a lot of excuses for Anthony Davis.
No, I'm not making – come on, man. You know I'm the last one to make some excuses. He ain't my friend.
But that's why I don't know him. I just don't understand how the best player on the court for their team is mentally reluctant. Like, you know, Legg said something to me yesterday about Bam Adebayo that I think is way more applicable to Anthony Davis. He called Bam the most reluctant, dominant superstar. And I'm like, well, hold on. That feels like – AD to me, that's a mentality.
The difference is Bam
thing.
Is not a superstar and AD is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bam's a star, AD's a superstar.
Huh?
Did you need to use applicable? Did you have to use that?
I didn't have to.
Could you choose it? It just happened.
What would you choose?
I forgot what did Jay say. Jay said, I forgot what he said.
Me too.
I forgot. I just started laughing.
I just
apply
never seen
to
before,
Bam.
Key.
You could apply that to Bam.
Key, ain't no way in hell, Key. One game, you're going to get 11 targets.
It's germane
and the next game, you're going
to
get three.
Subject, Key.
And then next game, you're going to get 11. Next game, you're going to get three. No way in hell you're going to let that happen. No way in hell.
All right, the series is tied at one apiece, guys.
For now.
How you feeling if you're a Lakers fan this morning? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
We'll rest it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Jay, I don't want to get, like, people want to talk about this, and I want to get into whether we're concerned about the Lakers now, if you're a Lakers fan.
No need to be concerned yet.
Okay, but I want to start by asking you this.
What's up, Uncle Jay?
Yeah.
What's up, Uncle Jay? How you doing, man?
What's up? Oh, man. What drink we making today, Uncle Key?
Man, I'm just, you know, hey, brother, I'm just trying to make it.
You on the grill today? What we got on the grill today?
Oh, the grill? No, it's raining out here. I can't do you no grill.
Anyone want to say I can't call it now? Or can we?
I can't call it.
All right, there you go.
This is cookout music, man.
What's up, Uncle Max?
Come on, man.
What's happening, man?
What's happening is I need an answer from Jay Will on a sports question.
This guy.
Okay, Uncle. Oh, all right, Uncle.
Okay,
Uncle
Max.
White boy Max. What's happening, white boy Max?
There you go. There you go.
Max, the only one at the party but playing dominoes and everything.
With white boy Max, right? Look at him over there. He got him a sister.
See, you're talking to someone who has insight about being the only member of a certain group that functions.
White boy Max got him a sister.
So stupid. Max playing spades and everything.
Yeah. I bet you Max don't know anything about
spades. You know about spades, man? You play spades?
Dice. Okay. So here's the question
You're
I have.
Dying to get at it. Just dying to.
Because I really do.
It's really uncomfortable right now.
No, I'm good.
No, it's not uncomfortable.
I'm good. You just have to be careful to flip into a certain mode. Wait, hold on. What did they say on there? They said, what on here? It is interesting being the only member of a certain group at a function, right? A get-together. Because what you notice is people are almost extra, like who don't know you, are extra polite to you, right? They want to,
to know what you are.
But I imagine it's the same thing for you guys. When you guys are in certain, right? People go out of their way to be extra polite, but in a way it's like excluding. Right,
you know
exclusion.
What though, Max? My father-in-law, usually, Indy, man, he goes to all these R&B concerts, and he just out there, and everybody's like, "Oh, come on in, come on in."
But see, Max, usually,
yeah,
when it's just us, they already know. Mm-hmm. That's Jay Will. Oh, that's because you.
Yeah.
Athlete,
you don't have a normal experience.
So when you roll in, we look. Oh, no, that's Max. He cool.
Yeah,
That's Max. That's straight. Max.
That's true. It doesn't happen nowadays. I'm talking about as a kid.
That's Max from 34th Street. He got hype.
White boy Max from 34th Street.
He's still laughing because you had to think about
it.
It's
so true. It's so good.
So this is what I want to know, Jay.
Yes, Max.
And we could just put a button on that and move along. But I need to know from you. How – I get what you're saying about AD not asserting himself, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, when you talk about Darvin Ham's game plan defensively, I get it. And it's everything you said, what they were going to do to AD. But offensively, it didn't seem like they're running plays for AD. Like, I know LeBron was hot early, but they didn't run the offense through AD. How is that AD's fault?
Well, I mean, at a certain point for any player, and this is one of my – and we'll talk about Coach Budenholzer being fired today for the Milwaukee Bucks – but it's one of my things about Giannis as well. Look, coaches will listen to the best player on the team. Every player who's had an opportunity to be the best player on their team at a high level, and Key gets this, understands that at a certain point, he's going to look at Bill Parcells and be like, yo, Bill, we're going to run this. You're going to give me the ball right now. I need to get the ball. I've said to Coach K, yo, look, I haven't touched the rock in the last three possessions. I can beat this dude. Give me the damn rock. So at one point or another, like, it has to be, yo, Darvin, run a play for me if that is the case. There is onus on the best player as well to demand that from his coach. They just don't get absolved.
Yeah, no, Jay, first of all, I'm not going to say give me the ball to no coach. It's going to be some other words, and it's going to be some – see these eyebrows? They get the, you know, that look and that mean when I walk past them. They already going to know in certain situations. That's why I was one of those players that always not – I butt heads with the coaches, but they respected and they understood it because I wasn't going to allow what happened last night to happen to me without me contributing. I'm not just going to sit back and be – passive in the situation. Mm-hmm. If I was Anthony Davis and it was going on last night, and I want to ask you this, and I know we're beating this up. LeBron in game one didn't come out aggressive. It almost felt like, okay, it was Anthony Davis's time. So the game went a certain way. Anthony Davis shined. LeBron played somewhat the backseat driver. In this game, LeBron came out aggressive. Does that take away in that first half, first quarter, take away Anthony Davis's ability to become aggressive?
No, that's like saying Clay coming out being aggressive takes away Steph's ability to be aggressive when it's not the case.
That's why I'm saying it's
not the case,
that's
right?
Why I'm wondering about coach.
It's when Clay came out aggressive, almost in a way LeBron was like, okay, let me counter that aggressive and let's match it. But at some point, you need your star player to continue to be aggressive, and that needs to be sustained throughout the entire course of the game. And like my original point about Giannis was, it's like at a certain point, it's, well, that wasn't the strategy from me to guard Jimmy Butler. I'm like, nah, yo, I'm guard Coach Bud, I'm guarding him.
You know, he's that's mine. Jimmy Butler.
He's mine.
Jimmy and Butler that's what AD, does that.
But Key, that goes back to the mentality we talk a lot about. I just don't understand in college or in the league, for me, it never went from uber aggressive one game to extremely passive the next. Back to uber aggressive again to extremely passive the next. Like, that is not acceptable for a superstar.
So, Jay, you said earlier, not worried about the Lakers?
No, I'm not. I think the Lakers are going to respond in game three at home. I think the energy level will be very different.
I think they respond in game three. You know, interesting side note, it's the highest price selling ticket on the secondary market in Laker history since the Kobe Bryant last game. And this is a second round, third game at home. It's not the finals. It's none of that. And so, I think they're going to respond. Much like you say, Jay, it's going to be a jacked up crowd. You know, all the fake Laker fans will be there in the first row. You know, the whole deal.
Seems to remember, yesterday, you guys saying, oh, it's only the second round of the playoffs. It's not a big deal. Highest price ticket on the secondary market.
I don't know what that means, though, Max. I don't know what it means. I don't know if people want to see.
Are you saying that's a legacy?
Yes. I'm saying the demand is based upon the fact that LeBron and Steph are locked in a playoff series. 1-1, of course.
No,
it's based upon the fact that people just figured it's a nice day to watch basketball.
It's a great matchup.
Oh, that's what it is. I see. It's just the matchup.
Get that dude some. Paul, get Paul over there.
Reggie in Detroit. You're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Sir, thank you for having me, gentlemen. First of all, I want to say happy Cinco de Mayo. That's important.
Ooh, I forgot.
I got to say.
We knew May the 4th be with you, but we don't say anything about Cinco de Mayo, right? Go ahead.
But I got to say, I got to agree with Key when it comes to AD and the game being too physical, because I think the thing nobody wants to talk about enough is that the guy's bones are made of cardboard, respectfully. Now, I also believe that he needed to come out and have that wonderful game one because that's all he has in him. I think as long as they're going 2 days between games, he is going to struggle. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that he is not the best player on the Lakers. He's supposed to be. He has the intangibles and all of that, but LeBron has to carry the team all the time. And I think we take him for granted. And this is coming from a Laker fan. I'm a super Laker fan. But anyway, that's beside the point. I think that AD, his bones are made of cardboard. He's not a top 75 player because he cannot stay healthy. It's not fair to LeBron James. And I think LeBron knew he had to come out and have this type of performance if they were going to have a chance.
All right, listen, I think the big takeaway there is as long as it's every other game, you can expect the up and down from AD. Jay, coming up, I want to know. Not only is it right for the Bucks to have fired Coach Bud, was that the right move? But also, if the Lakers can get past the Warriors And now it's not every other night that you're playing. Does that mean better things for AD? KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, hey. J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hey.
Bucks have moved on from Coach Bud.
Yeah.
Was it the right decision? I mean, he won 60 games with an Atlanta Hawks team, probably had no business winning 60 games, but fizzled in the postseason.
He won 70% of his games in the regular season.
He's been known, the tag on him was regular season coach, but doesn't get it done in the playoffs. But then they chipped up. Once they won the championship, you go, oh, maybe that monkey's off his back, right?
Jay, why should I listen to you?
Huh?
Why should I listen to you when it comes to the NBA and things all NBA? Why do I have to listen to you?
You don't have to listen to me, but I watch it every single day and just study it and talk to a lot of people.
Because when you say something, I feel like I need to listen.
Yeah.
You know?
The correlation between what he says and then what happens.
Instead of listening to other people, I find myself listening to you, and I find myself having to agree with you, and I find myself realizing you're right. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Because you mentioned that Budenholzer, based on what just happened and get bounced, could potentially be a candidate for an exit strategy for the Bucks, and it kind of came to fruition. So why should I listen?
Nick Nurse on line one, Key.
Okay.
Nick Nurse on line one.
I'm going to write that down.
Look, there are certain things that are just apparent. A lot of basketball people – inside basketball people who know the game extremely well, when the Bucks won the championship, really questioned a lot of the decision makings and strategies of Coach Bud when they won. But Giannis has a 50-point game, comes back off injury, Drew Holiday plays well, certain things happen, it leads to a championship, but there were questions around Coach Bud. Nobody questioned what he did in the regular season, but you question, how do you maximize Giannis in the postseason, personnel-wise and strategy-wise, to have this team win as many championships as possible in his prime? So when you start hearing things, Key, like Giannis say, we didn't make any adjustments as we could against them after they lose. Now, regardless of whether you question Giannis's ability to say, I'm going to guard Jimmy Butler or not, sometimes for me, you start reading things, well, certain players is kind of like checking out on like what they feel like they need to do, because at the end of the day, it's strategy, right? So you also hear Giannis say, asked if he wanted to guard Jimmy Butler more in the Heat series. He said, yes, out of respect, you got to let the coach make adjustments. Can you tell me what that sounds like? What does that sound like to you?
It sounds like that the coach isn't doing what he's supposed to do, and I may need to find another coach.
Yeah, like
sounds like he lost support of his superstar, and then he got canned.
Well, I don't want to say it that way.
I can't say that. Just,
yes, Max, you're right.
I mean, if any key, you've had one of the best coaches to ever do it. If I've had one of the best coaches to ever do it, there have been times in games where I felt like the adjustments that my coach made probably wasn't in the best interest of my team. Be damn sure I'm not going to go up to a post presser and say, well, you know, if Coach K had done this, we probably would have. No, if we had played better, if I had done this, you don't So, like, there's certain things that you just start seeing and you start hearing and you're like, that don't sound right.
Yeah, at some point.
That don't sound right.
At some point, your superstar player is tired of doing the same thing and same results coming over and over and over. And at some point, they are going to go to him and ask him what he thinks about it. And the writing is on the wall. And you know it as a player. And you step to the podium and you kind of say what you know is already getting ready to happen.
In such due time.
And it's an inflection point for the organization, right? Because you have Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, both free agents coming up this season. You have Drew Holiday after they lost to the Miami Heat talking about he may retire in a couple
really?
Of years.
That would, oh, yeah, a couple Keith, years. It couple would, years like, a couple years.
Like
couple
one
years.
Or 2 years. But Drew Holiday's like, what, 31?
No, no. But when you said might retire, I thought you meant like
well,
right
he,
now.
He said it, but it
Jimmy
was really
Butler,
weird.
Jimmy Butler, destroyer of franchises.
It's really weird. Like, yeah. At the end, it's not even, Keith, it's not even like postseason exit interviews. It's like after the game, he's talking about, I'm thinking about this. He's
so
like,
you
what
mentioned,
the hell's going on?
You mentioned Nick Nurse as a candidate. How about Becky? How about could that be something that you take a look at?
Becky Hammon could be a candidate as well.
I think you mean deserving. Nick Nurse as a candidate? I thought you were referring to the fact that, like, because we showed a graphic earlier, coaches that have been the past four NBA champions, 19 Raptors, 20 Lakers, 21 Bucks, fired their head coaches, right? So that fits into that pattern. Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel.
Oh, I was saying.
But the only other one who still has his job is Steve Kerr.
I was saying Nick Nurse as a
candidate,
one of the primary
replacement candidate
for
I got you.
The Bucks.
Yeah, he was saying his primary candidate, Max.
No, I understood. You know it's not the because we
you know what I'm getting ready to say, right, Max?
Were you listening or did you hear me?
Were you listening or were you hearing?
Well, I was actually listening and watching. And when we played that graphic, I thought that's what you were referring to.
Yeah. Becky Hammon. People obviously talk about Frank Vogel. You know, there's candidates out there. I just think it's going to be Sam Cassell potentially played in Milwaukee. He's, you know, assistant coach, been looking for the right opportunity. Could be Earl Watson, another candidate that was live in the NBA for a while.
Man, I would give Cassell a look. Give him a look as
bring
a head
him back
coach.
To Milwaukee. I mean, yeah. He played there in Milwaukee.
But also, he's been on good staffs.
He kind of went that route. Went that route before with Jason Kidd. First time head coach with Giannis earlier in his career, another point guard. Obviously, Jason Kidd has done extremely well with the Lakers and moving on, but you kind of went with that first-year head coach. I feel like you need to go with a seasoned coach that has played.
So you want to microwave a guy?
Well, not microwave. I don't know, but Nick Nurse, the situation in Toronto was interesting because he had Kawhi. He managed a strong personality, somebody that's won a championship, has that pedigree. And Nick Nurse, by the way, key scheme-wise – is one of the best in the game, scheme-wise. So, now, I don't know how he is motivation-wise. Be interesting to hear players talk about that. But scheme-wise, one of the best there is. Mm. And that's what seems, to a degree, lacked with the Milwaukee Bucks at critical times in playoff basketball.
Greco in Queens, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Hey, Key, man.
Up,
our
baby?
Lakers, man, our guards got to do a better job coming off these ball screens, and they like look like deers caught in headlights, you know, with Steph and Clay running around and look, you know, shooting all crazy last night, man.
Yeah, I can't even think of his name.
Vanderbilt?
Off the top of my head. No, not Vandy. Our guard.
Schroeder.
Outside of Schroeder, the rest of them dudes don't move around like that, though. D-Lo can't get – he's not athletic enough to meet
–
he don't have that motor. And then, you know, Austin Reeves is a hard try guy. He tries hard, but he ain't, you know.
Hard
don't try. Laugh, Jay, because you're going to have me laughing.
He said hard try guy.
Yeah, a hard try guy. He tries really hard. But, you know, outside of that, we don't really have, right, Jay? We don't have the defensive guard like that.
That's
like, we just don't.
That was the key. That was the thing we talked about before the season. Everybody's like, you hate, especially in the matchup, you hating on the Lakers. I'm like, no, it's just. Defense. I mean, look. I think they're going to be okay.
And no, I do.
The energy
no
level
panic.
Will be okay.
Nah,
but like once again, it's just not personnel. It's a combination of having a game every other day, and these dudes make you chase them all over the damn court. It's different than watching Dame or watching Ja at the top of the key, and everybody knows where you're going.
You know, I was watching the game last night. Real quick, I was watching the game. As I was watching the game, you could see at times it was a. Now, I don't want to say a give up, but it wasn't a maximum effort,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Even at the time when he traveled, Steph traveled. Steph picked up the bag and walked to the
five steps and then passed the ball.
Everybody, it was unbelievable. But everybody like, oh, this is the time for us to get a break. Everybody just kind of stopped.
He went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. And then dished. I mean, maybe if you go 5 steps and then like Chris Paul sometimes go around the corner and get 4 or 5 steps and, well, he's shooting the left.
No, what? Steph.
On a pass,
Steph,
5 steps.
Steph traveled at least. He's traveled at least 4 times last night. At least 4.
Yo, Steph right. and Bron, they always – watch every inbound pass when they catch the ball, though. It's all, yeah. They always take like one or two.
They had their momentum.
They had a double team on Steph. One time they came, and he was trying to – and he backed up. I was like, they don't let him do that.
Take it or shake it. Listener Bold Predictions edition coming up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This is Listener Bold Predictions. Nuno, now how's this going to work, Nuno?
So we put out a question of for our listeners to give us their bold predictions. And so we're just going to use what they gave us, and it'll be just very simple. So start with the first one. Forrest said Detroit is a Super Bowl contender. Take it or shake it, Key.
Take it. It's bold, right? It's a bold prediction, and I take it because it's very bold. You look at the division. There is no Aaron Rodgers in the division. They absolutely have gotten better over the last 2 years under Dan Campbell. I don't necessarily love their draft, but they love their draft, so that's all I can go off of. I think Aaron Glenn's getting better calling defensive plays. Their defense struggled at times. Last year, down the stretch, they got better. It's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bold prediction that I still shake. I mean, look, I think Detroit is well on their way, Key, and obviously the Swift news was interesting to see how that panned out with the draft and them getting Gibbs. I think their offense has a chance to be a high-octane offense with Jared Goff, but at the end of the day, I still think their defense needs work, even though I do love the DNA of this team. I'm not sure they're Super Bowl contenders yet.
As a bold prediction, I agree with Key, take it. Like, in other words, do I think they're actually going to be Super Bowl contenders? No, but if you say, give me a bold prediction, if this works out, yeah, it could work out that they are. They're the kind of wild card in the NFC to me. High upside with the offense, tough mentality, and upside. And by the way, they drafted guys in this draft that they reached for, but, you know, those guys can contribute right now. I'm going to take it.
All right, VJ said the Bears will go from last to first this year in their division. Take it or shake it?
Shake it. That's a very bold prediction, but I can't roll with it. I think when you look at the situation in Justin Fields, he's only going to get better. My good friend Ryan Poles is doing an amazing job in the draft and the offseason and making sure things are being done correctly for Chicago to build in the future. I just think that this is a three-headed division with Minnesota, Green Bay, and potentially Detroit.
Yeah, I'll shake it with you, Kay. I don't see them going from 3 wins all of a sudden beating the Vikings or beating Detroit to win a division. I don't.
Agreed. Too many holes to fill. I'll just mention again, Justin Fields. For people who are like, oh, yeah, so far to go, had a 54 QBR. Whatever you want to say about QBR, it's a pretty good thumbnail sketch of, you know, hey, quick, what do you think? That's above average already. Just because the guy can run, now he has some receivers, like some decent receivers. It's going to get a little better.
3 wins, how many wins, Max?
6, 7.
Okay. 3 wins?
Three wins last year to how many wins this year?
Yeah, my bad. They'll double it.
I wasn't listening. I was hearing. Yeah, they'll double it.
Yeah, 7. Okay.
All right, next one comes from Travis. Jordan Love leads the Packers to the playoffs. Take it or shake it?
Take it!
Take it!
Take it! Take it. Yeah, I think that's a bold prediction. I think it could happen also and alleviate the bold prediction side of it. Look, Jordan Love hasn't played, but a little bit that I saw from an eyeball test standpoint, I like his rhythm. I like the way he ball placement, all of those things. And there's enough players coming back from a year ago, minus Aaron Rodgers, when you have Aaron Jones and you have Watson and you have Romeo Doubs and some of the guys, Kenny Clark and company, and Jaire Alexander on the defensive side, that team is intact. And I think they can win the division, and him leading them to the playoffs wouldn't be a shock at all.
Yeah, I think it would be a shock for me. I'll shake it in year one full time. And look, I think his team is well on their way with that defense that got better from last year. I think the offensive pieces, the continuity that he'll have with them this offseason, I think they'll be better. I just think it would be hard with Detroit and the Vikings in that division because of how they play. I think they're a little bit further ahead than where the Packers are.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Listen, Aaron Rodgers couldn't get them to the playoffs. Jordan Love ain't doing it. But like, you know, they might be all right, but
they're on their way.
Yeah, they'll compete, but I don't see them going to the playoffs.
All right, next one comes from Kat. The Bengals would miss the playoffs. Take it or shake it?
Take it!
Take it! Take it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the division and the conference as a whole, if they miss the playoffs, hey, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Well, even though they are a very good football team, there's no question about it. But the Cleveland Browns have probably gotten better based on Deshaun Watson being there full-time now. Lamar Jackson and company, he's back in the fold. And then I don't know what Pittsburgh is, but they're always hanging around. And you talk about the conference. It's just, we know what the conference is. So, yeah, they can miss it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Key. I'll take it. They can miss it. But this is what happens for Joe Burrow when you set the standard in year two, going to the Super Bowl and always having success in the playoffs and going against, you know, Kansas City all the time. Like, the standard is so high that it's bold. That's not good.
I'm shaking that one all day long. I tried to tell you last year, Key, when you were like, no, the Bengals won't make it back to the playoffs. Everyone else is going to have excuses, right? Well, Justin Herbert, the coach, or this one, that, something that made the playoffs. You know, Lamar, his team got hurt, whatever it is. Let me tell you who's just going to be in the playoffs every year, as long as he's healthy. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow going to be in the playoffs every year. And by the way, he's going to be making runs in the playoffs every year. He ain't missing the playoffs. Joe Burrow's not built to miss the playoffs. Not built that way.
What's today's date?
Single day mile.
Oh, that's right. May 5th. Okay.
All right.
You marking that down?
Mark it down. Please, okay. Mark it down. He ain't missing the playoffs.
All right. Next one comes from Carlos. The Jets.
Carlito!
The Jets will not make the playoffs. Take it or shake it.
Ooh. Bold prediction.
Take it!
Take it! Take that.
I can apply that the same to the Cincinnati Bengals. Great players, all the stuff around them. But look at the division. Look at the conference. They could very well miss the playoffs. Even though we don't really think they will, but they could miss the playoffs, and that is why it is a bold prediction, and I am taking it.
I'll take it. I think the offense is going to be better. They had a soft schedule last year. I'm curious to see if their defense continues to be what it was last year against a harder schedule this year.
Yeah, the Lions will compete for the Super Bowl, much like Key said, as a bold prediction, I'll take it.
I'll take that.
Because the Jets could win a Super Bowl, or they could easily miss the playoffs. You got four division winners, three wild cards. Go take a look at the West and the North.
Loaded conference as far as good teams.
Loaded
Deshaun Watson is
Key.
Not going to stink this year, let alone Lamar Jackson's got receivers. And you know Tomlin's going to be competing. Easily three teams could come out of the North alone, let alone the West. It's going to be a brutal conference.
Yeah!
Yeah! Take it or shake it. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yeah. Which fan base should be most concerned about their team after those predictable Game 2 whoopings they just took? Lakers or Sixers, KJM?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.